Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:57 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is March 21st and the first day of spring in North America, and it's pouring rain here in Los Angeles, which is a rather constant provision that we're seeing right now, but was altogether alien last year. Well, we had the Federal Reserve and Jay Powell making his first public statements in here today, and there were a number of points that should be taken away from that. The first is that the market was somewhat fearful that the Fed would raise rates four times this year. It's now looking like that they will probably raise them three times this year. However, then they are also thinking that they will raise rates four times next year. So there was initial enthusiasm, and then that also was pegged back somewhat in here. So the 5-year yield got up to a peak of about 2.73%, but then it pulled back. It's a similar condition we've seen on a number of those bond yields, that they were pricing in at least towards the middle of today that we would have four rate hikes this year. Now they're beginning to think we'd probably be more like three, so there's a good chance we're going to see this yield come all the way back down towards 2.6% at a minimum. But there is the additional point was that what Jay Powell said was very clear, that it would take a rather untoward set of circumstances to derail the Fed from reducing the size of the balance sheet over the course of the next year. Someone said that that would be in the order of about $600 billion, and he did not contradict them. So, well, we can then let's look at the size of the Fed's balance sheet. And it has contracted by approximately $100 billion since its peak back in 2015. But we can certainly see that the pace of the decline now has picked up somewhat since the beginning of this year. But it's due to accelerate later this year and into next year. So it is currently at $4.4 trillion. And, well, if we take $600 billion off of that, it's going to get us down to approximately $3.8 billion. That's a substantial decline, and it represents a headwind for asset prices. And I think that that is part of the reason why we have had this entry into a corrective phase on stock markets. So, for example, the Dow Jones was up as high as 25,000 at the beginning of this week, and it gave up all of the the beginning of today's session, gave up all of the advance and is closing on in negative territory. What is also of particular interest is that the Dow Jones was the clear performer all the way up to the peak in January. It was being led higher by shares like Boeing and Caterpillar. But both of those have now rolled over, and they are susceptible to some additional consolidation, considering that this is a larger reaction than we've seen over since, in really quite some time, and that they are still sporting quite wide overextensions relative to the trend mean. If the Dow had been the previous leader and is now an underperformer, the Nasdaq has been also a clear leader. It didn't quite accelerate as much as the Dow Jones did into the peak, and it did rebound much more impressively. And it has now failed to sustain the move above 7,000. We're back below that rather key level. And it was not able to hold its advance in here today either. We have had a narrowing of leadership within the technology sector, and the key beneficiary of that has been the semiconductor sector, and that was also off its highs in here today, but it is so far holding this 1400 point level, which is the upper side of it represents the peak from back in January. When we look at subscription model business plans, then they have accelerated. Salesforce is another example of one of those companies, and it was in negative territory in here today, but again, it had accelerated to get up to these levels. Amazon, of course, with its Prime program, is another subscription-oriented business, and it was down slightly in here today, but it's still accelerating, and it still holds the progression of higher reaction lows. And considering that it has been such a clear leader, and it overtook Google to be now the second largest company in the world, that $1,500 area represents a rather key level for the share at this stage. But while we have a narrowing of breadth in Wall Street, it continues to look like a market that has had a bit of a blow off, and now we're into a more of a corrective phase, and the most likely scenario is ranging. And the extent of that range is probably going to be between the peak in January and the lows in early February. There has been a lot of debate about whether the lows would be retested, and I suspect that it is not going to be a universal outcome. There will be certainly some that do and some that don't. But when we look across the pond at Europe, one of the things that was clear was the weakness of the dollar. And the euro was stronger by a full cent. Well, in here today in the UK, the NHS got a fairly sizable pay hike. That is going to ignite pay demands among teachers and police and civil servants generally, and that's before we even begin to think about the private sector. So the pound was stronger by a cent and a half against the dollar. But when we look at it against the euro, then it is closing at above that psychological 114 area. It didn't quite hold the entire advance. Every single time it has got up to this level, over the course of the last 6 months, it has failed. And it has been up on consecutive days for at least 2 weeks now. So the big question is whether it is going to be able to sustain this advance tomorrow. And there is the realistic possibility that the UK is going to be among the first countries now to raise interest rates after the Federal Reserve. Because of the previous decline in the currency, then inflationary pressures are starting to come through in the UK, probably before everywhere else, because everything has gone up in price. And one of the things that has gone up in price most is the oil price. And if we redenominate the oil price into pounds, then what we get is very clearly that there has been a 50% advance in the oil price since the Brexit vote. And that might not be something that the official statistics are recording, but it's something that ordinary consumers have to deal with on a daily basis. On the high street, the shops are just about beginning to pass on the higher import prices. And quite apart from the inflationary pressures that act as a tailwind for not only for the pound because of the potential for interest rate hikes and the continued strength in gilt yields, which have first step above the base characteristics and are bouncing from the region of the trend mean. But then you have this Cambridge Analytica scandal that's unfolding. Well, they were also hired by the Leave campaign during the Brexit vote. Now, there is an interesting article by Leonid Bershevsky in Bloomberg today, which is worth highlighting because he was talking about all of the different types of campaigns that companies like Cambridge Analytica have been involved in internationally. Well, when a company like that goes abroad and begins to try and topple governments, not to put too fine a point on it, then they're viewed as mercenary. When they do that kind of thing at home, it's traitorous. Well, my mother's family were among the founders of the Labour Party in Ireland, and it was always a tradition to explore a dialectical method around the dinner table. We never talked about we never really talked about sport or popular culture, but always about politics and current events and trying to unpick all of the different potential strategies that politicians might exploit to achieve their goals. Well, we have to at least consider the possibility, and this is not intended as a conspiracy theory or anything like that, but rather it's almost certainly something that people are beginning to now consider on the Stay campaign or on the Remain campaign. It's that they are desperate to remain close to the EU. And there is a growing view that there should be another referendum. And if they can prove or argue with some degree of authority that Cambridge Analytica was able to sway 1.5% of the vote through nefarious means, then they might have a better chance of achieving their goal of an additional referendum, or what might be considered as a proper referendum. Well, if that is indeed the case, then the potential is that the pound will strengthen, because one of the reasons the pound declined so precipitously was because of worries about what the outcome of the Brexit negotiations would hold. And the very easy answer to all of those questions would be simply to invalidate the referendum. Of course, there would be a substantial number of people would be hopping mad as a result of that, and they would feel that they are being disenfranchised in much the same way that the people who lost the referendum feel right now. And it would also strengthen the hand of the UK in negotiations for a better deal with the EU, or indeed to push through reform. What this all helps to highlight, of course, is that this is still a very liquid situation, and that what we have to see is that breakouts hold. If breakouts hold, then we have demand-dominated environments. If they don't, well, then we're still in an environment where supply and demand are in relative balance. So I think that's rather important to keep an eye on. But when we look at the UK stock market, it benefited fairly substantially when the pound deteriorated, and with the pound strengthening, it's coming under pressure. The FTSE 100 closed at a new low in here today, and it was off its low intraday, but it is going to have to rally smartly tomorrow to signal that this is a fail, to signal a failed downside break. And when we go back and look at the consistency of this advance up from the lows in early 2016, well, it certainly failed to hold the breakout in January. It pulled straight back down and broke the progression of higher reaction lows, and it has subsequently failed to rally, and it is now at a new reaction low, and the trend mean has turned downwards. Well, in the absence of clear upward dynamics soon, we have to conclude that this is a completed type 2 top, and then what that would suggest is that the 7,000 level may not in fact hold. Well, then when we look at the FTSE 350, we have a very similar condition, and it is now trading below that 4,000 level. And because it had previously been such a clear outperformer relative to the FTSE 100, then there isn't quite the same psychological benefit of the 4,000 level for the 350 as there is for 7,000 on the 100. And then when we look at the AIM 100, which is the small caps and would have benefited most acutely from the weakness of the currency, then we are presented with a loss of trend consistency, that there has been a marked loss of momentum. We had the failed break above 5,500. We came back and tested the progression of higher reaction lows in the region of the trend mean, but we may now be seeing the development of a lower high, and that would be the first lower high in at least 2 years. So I think that this is a riskier environment, and it isn't simply the case for just the UK. It's broadly speaking for Europe generally. The European markets all share this similar characteristic, that they have pulled back below their respective trend means, and they are exhibiting difficulty pushing back up above them. And the DAX index is also trading below its trend mean and just about holding this 12,000 level. The Mittelstand in the MDAX has just about held that 25,000 level, and this has been the clear outperformer in the German market. So it would really be I think a significant loss of consistency if it were to pull back below that big psychological 25,000 level. So this is, I think, a rather key environment for a number of these European markets. Then, when we look at the Italian index, it has bounced from that 22,000 level, and because the we have not had an unruly outcome as of yet, at least in as a result of the election, then the index is still relatively stable. The fact that the US economy is doing well is really quite a considerable benefit for the FTSE MIB because the US is the biggest destination for Italian products. So strengthening US economy should be generally positive for a country, or at least for Italian companies, rather than specifically the country of Italy. Now, when we look at what's going on in China, well, we have, I think the market is still digesting exactly what we can conclude from the Party Congress last week. Well, one of the things that we are definitely seeing with this stock market is that it has not yet pushed back above the trend mean, and it was and it's been ranging for the month so far. There are two important facts. One is that ensuring financial market stability has been moved up to the number one priority, and the second is that there are now more people employed in the domestic security service than in the People's the PLA. So that's rather significant. The standing army of about 1 million people represents about 1/1000, a 1 in 1,000 of the population, and now the domestic security apparatus represents about the same number of people, if not more. So that would suggest that 2 in every 1,000 people are employed by some form of security apparatus. So one would have to consider what it is that the Communist Party are afraid of. Well, the property market is perhaps something that they're afraid of. They reneged on a commitment to introduce a property tax this year. It'll probably now be next year. But until then, the property sales will have to persist in order to support the market and to fund local government operations. It is rather important that the property index continues to hold support around this 7,000 level. And I think that what we have so far seen has been that these Chinese markets are just about steady in the region of their respective trend means, and they really do need to continue to hold in those areas. Now, when we look at what's going on in Hong Kong listed Chinese shares, then the H-share index has bounced, and it has held this progression of high reaction lows over the last 2 years. So as long as it's trading above that 12,000 level, I think people are going to be reasonably willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. And of course, when we look at Tencent, which has been an icon for investors, then it got all the way up to test that January peak, but it was off its highs in here today. And when we look at this on a weekly basis, I think there is anyone who sees it can could immediately conclude that there's been a loss of momentum, that we have had larger pullbacks, that we had a large pullback, then we moved on to a new high, and then we had another large pullback. So we're starting to see that perhaps that Tencent lost consistency at the penultimate peak, and that we're now right back at that peak, and it's an area where people might begin to start thinking about taking some profits. And what it suggests is that we are at least into a more corrective phase, that the a lot of these types of shares are at risk of some fairly significant consolidation. That's not at all beyond the bounds of possibility. So we are still in a corrective phase overall, and we are starting to see that some of the liquidity is getting taken out of the market. So it is therefore interesting that gold was up in a rather dynamic manner in here today. This is I can't remember the last time that gold has rallied by about $20. It was probably back in the middle of February. But this is a fairly significant upside key reversal. Or at least it's a big outside day because we were not coming off of a new low. But it helps to confirm support in the region of the trend mean. And it also helps to confirm that this is still a support building phase for gold prices, and that it has been ranging in with a saucering pattern for much of the last 5 years, that this saucering pattern is consistent with accumulation, that it is quite regular that following a type 2 trend ending, you get a period of right-hand extension. And this period of right-hand extension has persisted for nearly 2 years. But it is looking increasingly likely that we are likely to see gold moving to a position of outperformance, and not least because it has characteristics that are attractive from a hedging perspective, and also that it is not particularly expensive at these levels. So I think that, and I personally bought some gold in here today, and I think that there is an argument for looking at gold at this stage, because we know that when people, or at least when gold has been going sideways for a long time, it is capable of rather spectacular breakouts. And considering that it has already been ranging for 5 years, that we cannot rule out that that is I think a near to medium term possibility. So I think the big takeaway really is that we've had narrowing of breath in the stock market, and that we are in a corrective phase overall, and that this corrective phase could persist for a while longer, and that it is a time to monitor the consistency of trends. And that when we see something that is wildly overextended relative to the trend mean, well, it is the time to start thinking about a trailing stop. I think that's quite clear. And with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.